Saint Martha, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. There was once a pastor of a parish who was being transferred to another parish, and they were having a farewell party for the priest. There was a woman in the congregation who was very upset that he was leaving. She was even in tears. And the priest tried to console her by telling her that the bishop would send her a good priest to replace him. In fact, he said, "I'm sure the new priest will even be better than me." And the poor woman said to him, "But that's what they told me last time." So, as you all know, today is my last Sunday serving this parish. In a day or two, I will move to California to serve another traditional parish out there. It's a sad day for me to leave all of you and this beautiful parish, but I am deeply grateful for the time that I've spent here. I only wish it could be longer, but I sincerely believe it's the will of God for me to go. God makes His will known to us ordinarily through the circumstances in our lives, and my circumstances clearly indicate that I should go out and help at this parish in California. I began attending Mass there when I was 4 years old. And when I was 7, I began to serve Mass, and I served practically every ceremony that I attended there from that time until I left home to go to the seminary when I was 21. The longest I ever went without serving was when I was 14, and I broke my kneecap. And I was on crutches for several months, and it's very difficult to genuflect when you're on crutches, so I was not able to serve. And throughout all of this time, I got to know Father Zapp, the pastor, very well. He was one of the biggest influences on me to become a priest, in fact. I wanted to be a holy and zealous priest like he was. Father Zapp never had an assistant priest since he took over that chapel in 1986, about the same time that my family started going. But he always wanted an assistant because he actually managed two parishes, the one that I went to, and then there was also a mission 100 miles away. And so when I decided to become a priest, he said that he would like me to go out and help him when I was ordained. But he wanted me to get some sort of hands-on training before I went out to California. At this point, Bishop Dolan very kindly agreed to allow me to serve here and in the St. Gertrude missions for 2 years and get some experience, and so I did. And I am deeply grateful both to him and to Father Chicada for making it work out for me to come here. And also for the way that they treated me the whole time that I was here. They always took care of me in every need that I had. And they were always very generous and patient with me and everything else that anyone could hope for. I'm also grateful for all of you and the friends that I've made here, and for all of the help of every imaginable description that so many people here gave freely. From fixing my car, which needed to be done quite a bit, to bringing me to the airport and back, to dealing with the phone company when my cell phone acted up, which is always, it takes heroic virtue to do that, and everything else, even down to cooking me dinner. Every single time I ever asked a favor from someone here, no matter how bad the timing was or how unreasonable my request, the person either did it or they tried hard to find someone else to do it for me. And in 3 years, I literally never had a single argument or disagreement with a single person here. I think that's a large part of what makes St. Gertrude's great, that everyone here sees it as part of their world, as something they want to help out with. Everyone here does their part to make this parish a better place for everyone. and for God. And that really shows me that the people here love God and take their religion seriously. They take God seriously because they take God's house seriously. It reminds me of Psalm 83, which begins with the words, "How lovely are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth and fainteth for the courts of the Lord." And that's truly a spirit that I see here in this parish, and it is something beautiful to behold. But as with anything else, sometimes there can be room for improvement. And if you look around you and you see that the other people here are carrying more of the burden of the parish than you are, then you probably need to get involved and start asking how you can help out like everyone else so that you also can participate in the blessings that God bestows upon the people who help out in His church. And on a more personal note, I've also made a lot of good friends here, and it's hard for me to say goodbye. I'll miss all of my friends in this parish, all of the wonderful people that I've gotten to know, but I won't forget any of you, and I hope you don't forget me. You may have noticed that I said earlier that the arrangement with Father Zapp was for me to serve here for 2 years. And actually, I've been here for 3 years now. The math doesn't add up. Well, what happened was that at this time last summer, Father Zapp basically said to me, "Well, your 2 years are up. Are you ready to come back to California?" And by that time, I had become very fond of this parish already and of so many of my friends here, and I was very reluctant to leave. I probably should have just gone, but he could tell that I was torn. And so he very kindly said that I could stay one more year. So I got to stay here for 3 years in total. But now my third year is coming to a close, and I have to say goodbye. St. Gertrude's will always have a special place in my heart, not only because of the wonderful people here, but also because this is where I began my priesthood. You are not only my friends, you are also the first people that I was responsible to God for as a priest. You are the first people that I ever baptized, offered Mass for, anointed, buried. I haven't buried any of you yet, but you know what I mean. Absolved, preached to, and prayed for. You are the first people who confided in me with your troubles. They say that the beginning of anything is the most critical time for it, and how something gets started determines how it will continue. I served the beginning of my priesthood here at St. Gertrude's, and I couldn't think of a better place to do that. I've learned a lot in the last 3 years, especially a lot about being a priest and about how God works. I've learned that God uses His priests as instruments and that they are channels of His grace. The power that they have, the grace that they can distribute, does not come from the priest as a man. It comes from God. No human being, no matter how holy he might be, could sanctify a person, even a tiny fraction, as much as a single sacrament sanctifies them. It's easy to forget this. Sometimes we focus too much on the human side of the priest. We try to determine how holy Father so-and-so really is. I hope none of you ever did that with me. But that's really missing the point. Even the holiest saint, who was a priest, was only a man. And even the most sinful priest has powers to sanctify people that are beyond comprehension. Because a priest's power comes from God, not from himself. And what matters is that people receive the sacraments from the priest, not because they think he is a holy man, but because the sacraments come from the infinitely holy God. Sometimes God will remind the priest that God is the one doing the work of sanctification of souls and not the priest. And he does this by showing his power in some visible form, by a miracle or an apparition or something of that nature. In my 3 short years of the priesthood, I've already heard of many cases like this. People that I know who have had, you know, visions or things like that. The majority of the cases that I heard about, obviously I can't speak of, they're in confidence. But I did have one experience like this recently that I can share with you. Just over 2 years ago, more or less, I was put in touch with an old man who lived down in the middle of the city who was dying. His name was Paul. It was a series of unlikely coincidences that put me in touch with him. But I spoke with him and I got to know him. He had only a very basic knowledge of the Catholic faith, which he had learned as a child. And he never lost his faith, even during many years of being lost in the new church. He never changed his beliefs. In fact, his religion was the most important thing in his life. He prayed the rosary devoutly, not just once a day, but numerous times every day. He was suffering from a, a very painful, deteriorating condition. His body was slowly falling apart on the inside. But he accepted his sufferings with heroic patience, and he offered them up to God. I used to go and bring him Holy Communion every few weeks from the time I met him 2 years ago until his death a couple of months ago. He told me that he was going to go in for a dangerous operation, and so I anointed him and gave him the last blessing, and then he had his surgery. The surgery did not go very well, and a few days later I heard that he was not expected to live much longer. So I went down to the hospital. I gave him one last absolution. I prayed the church's prayers for the dying over him in the hospital room. And 2 days later, he passed from this world. But what was remarkable was that a few days ago, during boys' camp actually, I received a call from his widow. She told me that her son had been sitting with Paul 2 nights before he died. And in the middle of the night, when the room was completely dark, he was sitting there awake with Paul, and he saw a blue light hovering over Paul's head, and a blue light over his feet, and a blue light at his side. He also saw a vision of a face on the wall that he didn't recognize. Now, we don't know what happened between God and Paul on that night, but we can make some conjectures. The blue light seems to indicate the presence of our Blessed Mother at Paul's side, coming to claim her faithful child because of his devotion to her Holy Rosary. Regardless of what it truly means, I have confidence in Paul's salvation, because of his tender piety, and especially because of his devotion to Our Lady and the Rosary, and also because of the patience with which he accepted his sufferings. But my point in telling this story is that I was hardly more than a witness of the closing chapters of this man's life. God used me as an instrument to bring home one of his children. And it's really humbling to realize what God had me be involved in, even though I had such a small part to play. But it's truly an awe-inspiring thing to be chosen by God to participate in a story like this. It's the greatest thing that a person can do with his life to be a priest, to have God use you to save souls. And it's something that I am grateful to God for every day, that he chose me to do this work, even though he doesn't need my poor help. And it's something I hope to be worthy to be involved in, and I ask for your prayers that I will continue to fulfill this vocation worthily. The priesthood truly is the best job in the world. And I really encourage the young men of this parish to think about it. If you give your life to God to save souls, you will have many experiences like what I just described, and you will have many, many more that you will never see any result from in this world, but which will be known to God, and for which you will receive a reward on the last day. You will see the good that God is using you to do. You will have the happiness of knowing that you are spending your life doing the most good that anybody can do for their fellow man by leading them to salvation. There are a lot more Pauls out there whom God wants to save, but who need a priest to bring them the sacraments. What could you possibly do with your life that would be any better than that? Anyway, today I have to say a sad farewell. I wish the best for all of you here in this parish, for the clergy, for the people who help out, for everyone I have ministered to in any way. St. Gertrude's will always have a place in my heart as the place where I began my priesthood, and that will never change. I will remember all of you and miss you, and I will keep you all in my prayers, and I hope that you will do the same for me. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.